Hello, Space Junkies, and welcome to What a Piece of Junk, episode number 129? Sure, let's go with 129. We're going to talk about some Ahsoka, and you'll forgive me for losing track of which episode number this is, because after this week's episode of Ahsoka, my brain has melted out of my head. Helping me put it back in is my original podcast co-pilot, Mr. Derek Marge. Derek, how's it going? Do you still have all your brains in your head?
Worst case scenario, we could always use the World Between Worlds and go get the right brain that's working. So,
yeah, that's totally how it works. As long as nobody cuts the bridge that we're walking on. Oh my gosh. Anyway, and here to help me and you make sense of all that imagery is the guy who can tap into the Filoni network mind, because he is our very own Dave Filoni, my original Wookiee co-pilot, the gooey, chewy, Mr. Miracle, man of a thousand nicknames, Nathan Miracle.
Nathan, hey, that's not how any of this works. That's not how any of the World Between Worlds works. Of course, I'm not real clear on how.
I don't think anybody really knows.
Yeah, well, we can talk about that.
Because apparently there's just random ghosts floating around or whatever. I don't know.
I gotta have more info about Anakin showing up there, because it's like, what? Anyway. Yeah, so we're going to dive right into it with this episode of the podcast. And so we're going to do the five questions for Star Wars Ahsoka, Episode 5, Shadow Warrior. Now, none of us were lucky enough to get to watch it on the big screen, but I know there are some fans out there who got to do that, and it must have been pretty amazing, you guys. Derek, before we jump into the questions, what were some of the visuals from this episode that made you think, oh man, I wish I was watching this at a theater, because it was beautiful?
So I had messaged when we talked last night after the episode, basically at like 9:50 when everybody had finished watching the episode. We all were texting like, that was a great episode. Yep, yep, yep. My comment was, it felt whimsical again, right? Like it felt like a Star Wars movie. It felt that fantasy comment, right? Like we talked about, it wasn't as hard like Andor's been or some of the other things. And it wasn't like as... Again, it's just a part of a larger story, but it felt almost kind of self-secluded episode enough where it's kind of like if you just picked it up randomly, you'd be kind of like, okay, I don't know what the beginning is other than if I watch the recap, but other than that, then... but like I said, it was just beautiful, right? Especially with the space whales being in the daylight and getting a bit that, and then obviously the ending when they go into hyperdrive, ludicrous speed, so...
Yeah, yeah. I watching it, I felt like I was a kid in the 1980s again, because it had all that Star Wars whimsy, and there were even witches mentioned and witchcraft as part of it. So it very much felt like any moment now, friend of the show, Eric Walker, was going to walk on screen as an X-Wing pilot or a lieutenant on the, you know, one of the Star Cruisers, because it felt like something that would have happened in one of those Ewok movies from the 1980s that were way more leaning into the fantasy elements and tropes than any of the smattering of sci-fi that Star Wars tries to do. Nathan, any scene that you wanted to have seen on the big screen?
Pretty much anything that was in the World Between Worlds, I would have loved to have seen on the big screen, especially when they're on the walkway. Now, I would have loved to have seen the Clone Wars scenes in big screen as well, but really more so the walkways and the lightsaber fights. I'm sure it would have been spectacular. You have all that open space, and if you could put that like on an IMAX, ooh, yeah, I would love that.
That would have been awesome. All right. Well, for me, the big scene I would have liked to have seen on the big screen is the part where the Purrgil go into hyperspace.
Also a good choice.
Them floating through the clouds and all. That was neat. But yeah, seeing that kind of an effect with all those starships trying not to crash into the whales, it would have been so cool. Maybe we'll get to do that someday.
Yeah. The Republic really stinks at evasive maneuvers, by the way.
Yeah, they do. It's like, what are you evading?
That's why they had to invent the Holdem maneuver.
we can't dodge them. We might as well go through them. You know, we're going to talk about the Holdem maneuver a little bit today.
I'm going to start calling it the Elspeth maneuver because, you know, hello. She did it first.
Well, but apparently the Resistance and the Senate don't believe anything that actually happens. So that's where they take credit on themselves and make themselves look like.
No one knows that that happened. It's all classified. Anyway, okay. All right. So let's hit the questions. Derek, question number one, what was your favorite part of this episode?
I really, really enjoyed the character development of Ahsoka this time. Like, I actually felt like, obviously, we had Sugi come on a couple of episodes ago, and he kind of gave that. So hopefully, Sugi, if you're listening, you know, definitely I hope you feel like that was some good character growth, some actual, you know, emotion from Rosario, you know, portraying that. And what we got, again, we only got half of her because the other half was, you know, mini Ahsoka played by a different actress. Overall, I felt that was really good. And then I really enjoyed the actual duel between her and Anakin. I thought was really good. Both cut scenes from that. And then just overall, I was just super happy that, again, Hayden's coming back and they're giving him more stuff to do. It just, you know, brings a smile and, you know, a touchy feely to my heart that, you know, Hayden's continuing to get the love from the fans and he's getting a second chance to portray Anakin / Vader.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. That was a really great part of the show. Nathan, your favorite part of the show.
Well, I love this episode. There's so much to pick from, but there was only one moment in the entire episode that made me go, oh my gosh. And that was when we got to see live action Rex, complete with the markings on his helmet. I understand that one of the clones in the Battle of Ryloth scenes is supposed to be Rex as well, but that was before he got the markings, the Siege of Mandalore ones where he had the blue. Beautiful. And also seeing the Ahsoka helmets that the clones had. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, that's it. That is what I pointed to the screen and said, oh my gosh, that has to be my favorite. Despite all the wonderful things that happened in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot to choose from. For me, it was the part where Anakin has basically aged up to the, you know, rise Lord Vader moment. And he's got his red lightsaber and he's running toward Ahsoka out of the smoke in the World Between Worlds. They're back on the bridge and it's back to grown up Ahsoka played by Rosario Dawson. And the lightning strikes. And in just a split moment, you see Vader's silhouette running toward her and you hear the music and the breathing. And then he's back to Anakin's silhouette, but still with a red lightsaber. Then the lightning strikes again and he's Vader for a second. And then he bursts out of the smoke and he's back to Anakin, but he's evil Anakin with the creepy Sith eyes. And he's got his scar at that moment in time and the hand. And oh, just so beautiful to show that, you know, Ahsoka is everything that Anakin is and was, and that means that she has darkness inside her too, but yet don't we all? And she has to make her decision, and so she chooses to live. So good. And then she comes back and looks different, because that's how things work in these types of stories. So we'll talk about that in a second. But let's move on to question numero dos. Nathan, what was your least favorite part of this episode?
See, this one's actually harder to pick because there was not much that I didn't like about this episode. So I'm going to go with the fact that we didn't get to see anything in the new galaxy. It ended before we got there. I was looking forward to seeing the new galaxy. Now, from a production standpoint and from a storytelling standpoint, I understand why we didn't get there in this episode. And honestly, it's probably going to be better that way. Like if I go back and watch this years from now, it's going to make more sense that, oh yeah, this is the episode that Ahsoka has her growth. And the next episode is where we get to the other galaxy.
Maybe.
Don't think we will?
Well, so the part of me is thinking, are they not having us see that portion because they technically are going to another galaxy. So in theory, it does actually take a while to get there. So we may have them deal with some Senate stuff in this another episode coming up, or with Hera having to deal with things on, you know, with her decommission or whatever they're going to do with her. So we might get court martial, whatever it is. So we may see something like that. And we may just get a two-part episode 7 and 8 finale arc, where we finally get Thrawn as the reveal at the end of episode 7. And then episode 8 is whatever's going to be us, basically Ahsoka going to that point, coming in and rescuing him the last minute, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, obviously, then they somehow get back, or maybe they're stuck there and that's how the season ends. Right. So they still have to figure out how to get back. So, but obviously that's not answering, you know, the question, but that's where I feel like we could still get one more episode.
Well, I really would be disappointed if we don't see it next week. Like I said, I was disappointed this week, but I understand why it happened. It's probably better overall that we didn't see it.
Yeah, it was surprising because we all assumed it was going to be Thrawn's big reveal because of it being in the movie theaters, right? Now, yeah, again, nothing to take away. It was a beautiful episode, right? And we all said, yeah, I mean, definitely would love to see it. But we all kind of figured this is the first episode of the halfway point, the back half of the season. So we assumed that was what it was going to be. So, but for me, the only thing I really nitpicked a little bit was between the two backstory vision scenes, where you have the first one, Ahsoka more as a early Padawan. Again, great character development, great conversation, the things that, you know, her and Anakin are exchanging and all that. But then when you do get the second one, and it is at the end, I loved how Anakin says, "I don't remember this." I thought right. That was very clever.
That was good. Yeah. She wasn't there for that.
Well, of course, she says we had parted ways at this point. But I didn't like that Ahsoka wasn't older. Like, they changed her outfit and all that, but the girl was still the same height. Like,
it was still Ariana Greenblatt.
Preferred it either another actress, which would have been a little bit older. Now, I get it, would have been hard to do that, but they could have found two sisters 3-4 years apart and play, you know, that looked very similar and sounded very similar and gone with that. Or just, you know, CGI her to be a little bit taller, right? I mean, you can freaking do, you know, deep fake cuts nowadays with, you know, 60-something-year-old Mark Hamill as, you know, 30-something-year-old Luke Skywalker. Why couldn't you re-age somebody 2 or 3 years, right? So,
you know, you say nowadays, but the Lord of the Rings movies did that sort of thing
20 years ago.
Decades.
Yeah, I mean, you could do the camera angle, absolutely, right? They could have played that a little bit. But I think that was my only gripe, was that, like, well, yeah, this should be, like, you know, several years apart, because the Clone Wars lasted, what, 5 years, right? So the fact that was the end of it, and this should have been the somewhat beginning of the Clone Wars when we had the first part of the episode, or the first flashback, like I said, I would have liked someone, like I said, her a little bit taller. That's all.
Yeah, so it was actually only 3 years for the Clone Wars, but she definitely grows in the Clone Wars cartoon.
Correct.
You can see her, you know, if you compare the early season, you know, Battle of Ryloth version versus
the movie.
Or the movie. You know what? I'm going to change my least favorite thing. Speaking of the movie, my least favorite thing is that they went with the Battle of Ryloth instead of the movie, because they didn't quite bookend it. They didn't go with her first appearance and the finale of Clone Wars. They went with a slightly later battle with
Ryloth. Yeah, but I think it was because it was a different dialogue. It was a different lesson. I mean, so I'm okay with that. I still feel like it was relatively after that.
Yeah, but I'm still grasping for straws at things to not like about the episode. It was a great episode.
That's all fine. So, but I do appreciate the new dialogue that they had. So then the conversation for both all four scenes, right? The first World Between Worlds at the beginning when he's first revealed, because I did notice, though, there is a scar on Anakin's face when he first kind of like pulls Ahsoka to the side, and then they go to do the first flashback. You can see just at the angle, there is a scar right here on the Anakin. When he's further back away and you get to see his whole face and the way he's angled, you can't really see the scar.
It's definitely a more muted scar than it appears in the Clone Wars.
Yep.
I didn't notice the scar until later in the progression of
and then in the flashback, and then as well as then at the end when he's, like you said, Sith Vader, but there is a quick glance, you can see the scar in the first when he, you know, greets her.
Well, and his glove's different too, because I mean, I thought that the first time he sees her, he still got his real hands.
No, he had lost his hands before he ever met her.
He would have lost his hand right before hand. The Clone Wars technically started.
Yeah,
because he lost them from Dooku at the Battle of Geonosis.
Yeah,
but I think he got an upgrade robot arm though, didn't he? Didn't he get it? But it was just like the old school like protocol droid. But then he actually got the cosmetic. He had the
metal thing, and then he got the one that looks more
more
natural. Yeah.
Well, I think he's had three different arm. Well, probably four different arms. Because he had the one at the end of Attack of the Clones, and that one was obviously a fake hand.
Terminator arm.
Yeah. Then I think he had
skeleton.
I think he had two different ones over the course of the Clone Wars.
Right. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. Vader obviously has his own.
At her with his Sith eyes, he had like the gauntlety looking one with all the buckles up and down the glove.
It was definitely a different version of Anakin altogether.
Yeah. Anywho, my least favorite part is very closely related to what you guys are just talking about. And it was, I had always suspected we would have flashback young Ahsoka and therefore shorter Ahsoka. And I was really hoping this would be an excuse to have a nice Easter egg of Ashley Eckstein playing a version of Ahsoka in live action. And they didn't do it. Now, the show's not over. I mean, this could still happen, you know?
They could have made her teenage version.
Yeah, actually, that would have fit in well. No offense to Ariana Greenblatt here. She did a great job.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. And I would have been fine with Ariana playing little girl Ahsoka and then Ashley playing, like you guys said, adolescent or young teen, you know, or teenager Ahsoka.
Yeah, young adult Ahsoka. Yep.
So that was my only gripe. Everything else about the show I liked. I mean, that's a very minuscule gripe, and only because I have a deep fandom that, you know, relates to the Clone Wars and I know who the voice actors are. If I were a fan that had, you know, if I were a mainstream fan that only watches live action stuff and had never seen one of the cartoons, I wouldn't care about this at all. I'd be like, oh, that's cool. They got a little girl to be young Ahsoka and you know, move on. Of course, I'd also probably be redonkulously confused at this point, but hey.
that's definitely true. You know, and if they had gotten Ashley Eckstein, then I would have liked to have seen them get Dee Bradley Baker for the clone voices, at least when Ashley's in the scenes. They got Temuera Morrison, which, again, no offense to Temuera Morrison, great actor, is the voice of the clones in live action, but Dee Bradley is, he's voiced millions of them.
Yeah. Well, anyway, okay, question number three, and I'll go first this time. What connections did you draw to the larger Star Wars galaxy? I mean, there were a gajillion of them, but I liked that Mon Mothma appeared in a little teeny tiny hologram communicator thing to tell Hera and Captain Teeva, you guys are like totally off the wall here with no evidence and you're going to have to come back and I can't do anything else to help you and yada, yada, yada. And in related to that comment about how the Senate was involved and the Senate was poo-pooing Hera, I liked that Carson told Hera earlier in the episode, Senator Organa can only give us just enough cover and can only stall for so long. So I love that we got a Leia shout out during the whole New Republic politics thing. So yeah, that was my cool connection to the rest of the Star Wars galaxy. But there's a million of them. Derek, what do you got?
I had one as I was thinking a little bit ago, and then I lost it. So
I'll come back to you.
Nathan, yeah, give me a minute if I can refresh my rattle my brain.
Like you said, there's a million of them in this one. So I'm going to hit a couple of the big obvious ones first, and then I'm going to do kind of a slightly deeper dive into one of the bigger ones, in my opinion. So we obviously got a lot of parallels to the Clone Wars or references. We saw the Battle of Ryloth, and we saw the Siege of Mandalore. Do want to point out that the Battle of Ryloth is the one where Anakin did run a Star Destroyer into a Trade Federation control ship. So, Holdo, sorry. Not only did Elsbeth do it first, Anakin did too. Granted,
now did he
this do was it not at light speed.
Okay,
he did not do that. But yeah. But the idea of run your capital ship into another capital ship has been done. Yeah. But bigger than that, we have the world between worlds. And I have a theory about the world between worlds. And that is that the world between worlds and Mortis are the same place. Mm. That the Mortis trilogy takes place in the world between worlds. And I didn't used to think that because the world between worlds was just, you know, a bunch of bridges that went to a bunch of portals. But in this, we saw the world between worlds actually show people worlds. We saw Ryloth. We saw Mandalore. So we know that that can happen in the world between worlds. So it makes a whole lot more sense now that it might just be Mortis.
You just have to cut the bridge to fall down into the Mortis segment.
And the bridge just came pre-cut in the Mortis trilogy. I mean, they did not know what was happening when they got in there. So,
yeah, yeah. Man, when Anakin sliced the bridge, he's like, I haven't taught you everything yet. Whammo! I was like, what is happening? I actually audibly said, and Mita laughed at me. I just looked at the TV and went, I didn't know you could do that.
I didn't know that either. For once, I didn't know it. What's going on?
Yeah. I heard, speaking of the world between worlds, sorry to digress from your an excellent analysis, Nathan, but I heard a great clip from Dave Filoni himself that comes from the 2017 DVD Blu-ray release of Star Wars Rebels Season 4 in the, like, extra mm-hmm. special features segment. He talks about the world between worlds, and he explained in that clip, if I was a professional podcaster, I'd get the clip and play it right now, but I'm not, so I won't. And he said, I never envisioned the world between worlds as this place where you can go back in time and you can keep people from dying and save them and bring them to where you are. He said, when Ahsoka got pulled into the world between worlds by Ezra, she knows that she has to go back through the door that she came in through. Because if she leaves with Ezra and goes to through his door, it will, quote, destroy the natural order of the world. The real world. The world between worlds, he says, is not about time travel. It's about how everything there is all happening all at once. It's everything everywhere all at once. Wait, no, sorry, that's the wrong...
It's a whole other movie.
Yeah. Anyway, but he said that it's not about changing things. It's about what the Lothwolves said to Ezra during the story arc where Ezra himself discovers the world between worlds, and that is knowledge. And that Ezra actually saved Ahsoka, much like this time that we saw her not die when she battled Baylan Skull, is that when he pulled her into the world between worlds, it gave her knowledge that she needed to figure out a moment, a beat, to not die, to escape from Vader at the Malachor Temple. Because she was about to die, for sure. And same deal here. Although I don't think Baylan was as hell-bent on killing her as Vader was on Malachor, because Baylan has audibly said, I really don't want to kill Ahsoka. And so he knocked her out of the picture, and then, you know, the Force took her into the world between worlds so that she could learn more about herself and then come back. Again, it's about her finding knowledge there, not traveling through time or going to different places or changing geography. You know, Dave says it's not about those things. So all of the fans out there who have these crazy ideas about retconning the sequel trilogy via the world between worlds, for now, Dave has said that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. I do, however, emphasize for now, because...
Because they could retcon that.
Exactly. Different people get put in charge of Star Wars and they might change something, you know.
Well, to bring it back to my Mortis theory here, how would Ahsoka know that she needed to leave by the same portal? It's because she has the spirit of the daughter, and that gives her more knowledge of how Mortis and thus the world between worlds works.
Even though she doesn't know.
She doesn't necessarily subconsciously she knows. Yeah. But
I think that because, and I don't want to step on your theory here, Nathan, but are you about to say that also subconsciously the sun is there, and we know Anakin is the representation of the sun, right?
That's not what I was about to say, but it is a thought that I had it. So yes. No, what I was about to say was I also find it interesting that you tend to enter Mortis or the world between worlds without meaning to, which goes back to kind of the inspiration for the World Between Worlds, the Wood Between Worlds from the Chronicles of Narnia. And in the Chronicles of Narnia, you can't get to Narnia if you're trying to get to Narnia.
Right.
Now, the actual Wood Between Worlds is a little bit different. There's some magic rings involved, but that's a different story.
Ezra kind of used a magic ring of wolves to get into the Wood Between Worlds.
Oh, yeah.
Although, Ezra was purposely trying to get... Although, no, he didn't know that's what he was doing. That's right. When he got the wolves to come, he wasn't all like, I need to get into the World Between Worlds. He was all, I gotta figure out what these mean, you know. Anyway.
Well, and it's also interesting because your point, like, time traveling, right? People want to retcon this or whatever, or use it for time traveling. If you notice it, those... Because it was weird that we didn't actually get to see the rings... Like that when Ezra pulls or the portal doors, right? We didn't get to see that here. Yeah. We didn't get to see that here. So which was interesting, right? Because in the last time or the first time we've seen it, Ezra had to pull Ahsoka through it. So we assumed at that point that it had to be someone on the inside interfering in a sense, right? This doesn't seem like that because otherwise I assume that we would have seen some type of portal or doorway or ring that Anakin would have had to pull. And then that would have meant that it had to be a real Anakin or at least your theory of the brother or somebody physically or spiritually that can do physical form would have to pull her through. But in this instance, it isn't. It's like she fell through the water, which we find through, you know, Jace and how he's doing that and how that was really cool, like interaction and how he could hear the stuff. So like the door still had to be there. Right. So is there these certain touchway points that the doors are always kind of there and open? Because then that changes it, right? Because that's also how I thought was like the World Between Worlds and the original, right? Obviously, because we still don't know everything. And obviously, they can still develop more, decide to do more. But I also assume that those points that Ezra was seeing are what the Force wanted him to see, those points in time. So it was guided by the Force because it's made of the Force, essentially, right? And those were key points. So if somebody else was in there, they could see totally different things potentially, right? It wouldn't be, you know, what Ezra's seeing and somebody else could potentially be seeing something different. Now, when him and Ahsoka were together, for example, like they saw the Emperor portion when he was laughing through. So the Emperor was aware of it, right? Because we obviously know he's aware of the World Between Worlds and those different things, right? But again, what is the connection point, right? So I agree. I was joking because I was assuming what was going to happen in this was, again, you guys probably never seen much of Dragon Ball Z, but there's called this hyperbolic chamber where they basically go into a training room that basically it's a whole year that you spend in there, but it's only a day on the outside. And I thought this was going to be like, here, I'm here to complete your training, which essentially is what it is, right?
Yeah, and that's what he said.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but to me, it would have been like cooler if it would have been like, but you've been here for like, she's been through like a full year or some longer time than just a couple of 15 minutes worth of flashbacks. You know what I'm saying?
So like Narnia.
Yeah, where he would have trained her for a full year. Right. Like they would have like every day, like he would have been beating her with the, you know, until she learned every form of lightsaber tricks and then, you know, would have pushed her through all these points in time. Cause that was an interesting thing too. Like they didn't actually go through portals, right? Or the doorways, they went through a fog, but then like she was in it, right? To your point, Scott, right? Like they couldn't actually go through them because then that would have screwed up the world or the universe because she would have went through the doorway she wasn't supposed to go through in a theory, right? So like that was technically still all happening in the World Between Worlds. It wasn't those gateway points either.
Yeah, and it would have screwed up history because Anakin literally said, I don't remember this happening. Like, because he wasn't there and he shouldn't have been there. And if he had didn't somehow showed up there, what's happening? You know,
yeah.
I, you know, when I was a kid in the 1980s, I thought that in Star Wars, you could make the jump to light speed, enter hyperspace, any old whichever way you wanted to enter hyperspace, right? Now, I've rewatching the movies as an adult, I realize I was wrong about that. And Han Solo even hints about that when he talks about how you got to be careful where you go into and where the you navigation come out points. Of hyperspace. Yeah, because you'll end up in the middle of a star or crash.
Because the holder maneuver doesn't actually work. Because if you did, maybe it does. Maybe you actually do through go through a comet through light speed. And you will blow up. So
yeah, you could. In fact, in Star Wars The High Republic, there's a whole problem with debris from an exploded something or other. I haven't read all the books, so forgive me, fans of The High Republic. Debris is moving at light speed because it's stuck in hyperspace, and various points of the galaxy are suffering catastrophe when the wreckage comes out of hyperspace because it finally reaches an exit point and like smashes planets and stuff. And it's just like, you know, it's like natural disasters, but at light speed. And the Jedi are out there in the High Republic era trying to save the day and or trying to clean up after a horrible disaster.
Yeah. Well, and then Baylan even makes the comment to Morgan Elsbeth of why it's important that they get the coordinates correct, because when they're traveling through this ludicrous speed, that if they deter off the coordinates, they'll be lost in this way of forever, right?
Yeah.
Which is very similar to what happens in the anime Cowboy Bebop, where that's how they transport basically from light speed or versions of it from galaxy to galaxy is through these hyper rings channeling. But you have to, you know, you only have this legit, like, so big circle ring you have to stay in. If you veer into the actual fabric of time or the light or whatever, it will tear your ship apart and you'll be lost forever.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that entry points to the world between world are very closely related to places that you can enter and exit hyperspace. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason that Ahsoka fell into it when she fell off the thing at the modified Stonehenge there on Seetal is because that's a point where the Night Sisters or whoever from the other galaxy had set up that whole interconnection for traveling through hyperspace between galaxies. So
which the other one was a Jedi temple, so it makes sense.
Right. Right.
And you have a question of cause and effect there. Do we have these portals to the worlds between worlds because the Night Sisters built their stuff there and the Jedi built their stuff there? Or did the Night Sisters choose that spot because the barrier between our world and the world between worlds was already weaker there? And did the Jedi temple, or did the Jedi build their temple there because of this pre-existing connection to the world between worlds? And of course, Mortis just shows up in space, so you can't build a temple there.
It is like the ley lines. At the points where they intersect on the planet, the ancient aliens built their pyramids because they were able to travel through hyperspace. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the wrong podcast. My bad. anyway, but yes. Okay. Excellent interconnections.
I did find it out. So this is, and I knew what it was because it was on the topic of one of your guys' favorite video games. So there's a point in the based off the title called what? Shadow Warrior, right? So we know that. So, but there's a point when we get then when they're the second flashback with older Ahsoka, and she's doing all those cool moves. She's coming out of the, you know, the woodwork and the dark and all that, like a rogue. So I figured, you know, what's the connection for a rogue Jedi would be what? What is the class called in the Old Republic? That's the rogue Jedi.
That's Shadow. You, Scott.
It's a shadow.
A Jedi,
right?
Shadow. Yeah, a Jedi Shadow.
So that's Shadow Warrior. So.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, we haven't talked about our usual Dave means the title in like seven different ways thing for this episode.
Oh, but he does. He does.
Yes, definitely.
So maybe there's a throwback to the Old Republic there. I mean, granted, now Ahsoka's not doing a she's dual lightsaber, you know, dual wielding. She's not actually dealing with a dual lightsaber itself, but
yeah,
which is what.
However, In the current version of Star Wars The Old Republic, you can be a shadow that has two
lightsabers. Oh, well, there you go. I haven't played it in that while.
All these new combat styles. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, but yeah, good callback there, Derek. Good times. Nathan, did you have any more things you wanted to talk about connection?
Well, let's see. Shadow Warrior, you've got Anakin fell to the dark side, so that's a Shadow Warrior.
And he's a shadow because it's not the real Anakin.
Yes. And, you know, he's got a connection to Mortis. Yeah. I'm wondering if part of the reason he didn't remember the Siege of Mandalore was not just because he wasn't there, because he knew of it. Maybe it's because when he went to Mortis, that hadn't happened yet.
Ooh. I was thinking that his manifestation in this episode was based on Ahsoka's memories. And so if she wasn't with Anakin when he did a certain thing, or vice versa, the Shadow Anakin here in The World Between Worlds wouldn't have that knowledge.
Well, okay. Also, Ahsoka herself was in the shadows underneath the water. And in a sense, all of the warriors in the flashbacks were all shadows because none of them were really real. So
that's real to me, man. They were real to me.
And it's still real to me. And then the Vader silhouette that I was ranting and raving about was also a shadow warrior coming out of the mist.
Yeah, well, a very literal shadow at some points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I lost count of the number of ways, but yes.
the answer is. And then you could make the case that Hera herself is being a shadow warrior because she's doing military operations without telling people what she's actually up to.
Mm-hmm. I love the part, the other part. There were some very classic comedy scenes here, which they weren't all David Tennant lines, right? He had a couple there.
He did have some good ones, though.
What he was telling, you know, Jason's like, can you show me this? Can you trade me? No. Can you build me a lightsaber? No.
No.
But
do you know how to build a lightsaber?
Yes.
But my favorite part, though, was when Jace is finally trying to tell Hera about what, you know, this is, and Carson Teva comes over and he's like, what are we doing now, General? And she's like, we're gonna follow what Chase said. And he's like, why are we doing this? Because his father was was Kanan Jarrus, and he happened to be a Jedi and all this stuff. And he's like, okay
then.
Like, he just
at this point, whatever.
I've been around the rebellion / good guy team long enough to know that when you say, well, this Jedi told me to do it, all I really should do is go, all right, let's do it.
That was great, because that's really what he's well known for is his comedy, and that just got me cracking up there. I was like, all right, okay. Like, very well. Okay, whatever. So that made me laugh.
Good times, good times. Okay, let's move on to question number 4. And Derek, take it away.
So we've been having some sidebar conversations in the last couple episodes, right, as we've been talking about Ahsoka and The World Between Worlds. And we just deep dive some more into today's episode about it. So my play on words, because apparently, you know, let's be honest, it's so hard to come up with original ideas anymore just because everything's been done. Let's be honest. And it's okay for Filoni to have some inspiration from Narnia and as well as Dune, because I got that feeling right when Ahsoka's doing her thing with, I couldn't find a good GIF, for Dune when he's riding the sandworm there. So, but,
and Star Trek 4.
Yeah, Star Trek 4. Well, and kind of Moby Dick / Pinocchio when they go into the whale, too. Right? And use it as a vessel, right? But anyways, the main one I was looking at was when Ahsoka comes out, she looks a little different, doesn't she, guys? Because she's kind of faced death, and now she's not so, you know, personality-wise, she's not so... oh, the world is broom, blah, blah, and everything. And I've just got a gray attitude because that's what she was wearing. And she was Bo Humbug. She comes back and she's reinvigorated. Life happens, you know, and now she's wearing a lot of white. So do we consider the question here is, you know, is Ahsoka reborn now as Ahsoka the White? And with that, just like Gandalf came, when he came Gandalf the White, he had even more superpowers. So do we think there's something that we're going to find out that Ahsoka has a new superpower on top of that?
The answer is
next question.
The answer is yes and yes. I think that her countenance has changed because now she is definitely Ahsoka the White. And she has come back from, like, she journeyed into the forest and she came back changed. It's part of the hero's journey. Thank you, Joseph Campbell. I think that it was the first hint that that was a big change was we finally got to see Ahsoka in the live action show without her headband on for a few minutes when she was recuperating.
And she smiled.
And she smiled.
And I'm pretty sure that's not just in live action. I think that's the first time we've seen her without a headband. Hard stop.
I'd have to go back to the entire Clone Wars and do that.
Except maybe Tales of the Jedi as a little kid.
It's baby Ahsoka. Anyway, but yes. And then she started putting on that serape. And she was covering her arm with it for a while. And at first I thought it was just, you know, fashion choice. But then I thought, well, maybe something happened to her arm and now she's like rebuilding it. But really it was to cover up the new white gloves and bracers that she was going to reveal later on when she finished the whole transformation into her new wardrobe. Because, you know, she sort of put it on piece by piece, right? When she was first walking out of the ship and talking to Jason, she only had on just the... like the serape thing as she began to make her change. But yes, and I think a key indicator of heightened Jedi powers as a result of this rebirth was she was able to talk to the Purrgil. She hasn't really done the whole animal communion.
She did that. No, she does that when Jedi Tales, when the giant tiger thing is going to eat her. She has the ability to communicate with animals. She does. Remember?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. But this is definitely at a larger scale.
No, there were no scales on those. Those were more like whales, not fish.
Where is the ejecto button?
I mean, possibly, right? But you also have to remember, like, that's the big one, so it probably has more force-attuned powers itself, too, right?
Size matters not.
She just got her head cleared now. True. She's not thinking negative thoughts. She's thinking happy thoughts so she can fly. And, you know, and now she's, you know, can talk appropriately that she used to be able to do when she was a kid, right? Or at any point when she was able to talk with the animals.
Okay. Well, in any event, maybe they haven't shown her heightened force powers yet, but I think she definitely got some as a result of communing with.
Maybe she has white lightning. Slash...
Huh. Ooh.
Nathan, you also said yes to it is now Ahsoka
absolutely. The White. It's definitely Ahsoka the White. Part of the reason it's Ahsoka the White is. When the sequel trilogy came out and Rey heard all the Jedi, one of the voices that she heard was Ahsoka. And at the time, we thought, well, everyone that she heard was dead except Ahsoka. We weren't sure about Ahsoka. So the question was asked today, is Ahsoka dead? And Ahsoka responded, Ahsoka didn't respond. Ahsoka responded, no, I'm not. Dave responded by drawing a cartoon of Ahsoka with Gandalf. And Gandalf saying, everybody thought I was dead too. How did that work out for them? So, yes, absolutely. This is very intentional. She fell from a great height, one might say, from the top of the mountain. All the way down to the depths of the earth, and then rose again as Ahsoka the White, most definitely. As far as new force powers, I'm not sure if she actually got new force powers, but I do think that one of the things that she learned in the World Between Worlds is she's been a soldier since she was a kid. By the way, child soldiery. Another thing to put on the list of why the Republic was absolutely terrible. But I think she is coming out of the soldier mindset into a freer mindset. And even if that doesn't technically give her more force power, it allows her to access the force in a more powerful way, if that makes sense. She's no longer constrained by being a soldier.
So who wins the fight, Ahsoka the White or Ahsoka the Black? Or Ahsoka the White or Luke the Black?
Ahsoka the White, because quite frankly, Luke isn't that great of a swordsman. He does beat down Darth Vader, but mostly he catches him by surprise and just does a flurry of attacks. It's not great. He lets his anger
get him over and he overpowers him.
He does. So in terms of pure skill, Ahsoka definitely outclasses Luke.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of access to the Force, Luke probably wins that.
Yeah, I think he has a higher, he would have a higher midichlorian count than Ahsoka. But once we start getting hung up on the science of the Force, we're doing it wrong anyway, and that's probably going to be bad for us.
We threw the science out in this episode.
We did, yes.
Dave heard your oft-quoted, you know, we can either have science or we can have the Force. We can't have both. He's like, well, this episode, we're going all the way that way.
Yeah, yeah. Derek, what's your own answer to your question four?
I mean, it's exactly it. I mean, that's why I wrote it, because I think it is. And I think it'll be interesting whether she does have new heightened sense powers, right? That's, you know, obviously to be determined. I mean, to be fair, it could have been just like you said. I mean, she had a better way of communicating with the whales now. She's seeing with a clearer mind, right? So maybe she can now see like Baylan can see, right? Maybe she's now letting. No, I mean, just overall, it's, she's EBD to see if, like I said, if she actually has some cool superpower. I'm thinking, you know, can she fly? Or again, something is going to be revealed by the end of the season, I think, of what her new power is. So
yeah,
maybe because she can actually beat Baylan. Maybe she's faster.
I think it's going to be even beyond faster. I think she's going to have the ability to teleport with the Force. And we'll find out.
We know that that's something the Force can do now because it happens in episode 9, but with a lightsaber.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we'll find out that Ahsoka has gotten that power at the end of the season when she's in the other galaxy, but she needs to get back to our galaxy, to Star Wars Prime galaxy. And she does it through the Force.
Which I can see that.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Anyway, okay, question number five, Nathan.
All right. This somewhat relates to the previous question, but the question is simply, did the ending scene from Rebels happen yet? So there's too much to explain, so let me sum up. The scene that we see in Ahsoka is wearing a gray cloak. The scene in Rebels, she's wearing a white cloak. Well, now she's wearing a white cloak. So do we think that that scene happened or is going to happen? Are we going to get almost a repeat of that scene, but with the white cloak?
So there are a couple of things that are different between the final scene in Rebels finale and the scene we saw in episode 2 of Ahsoka. First of all, Hu Yang is there, and Hu Yang's not there in the cartoon. The wardrobe is different, and finally, the most obvious one, she doesn't have the cool staff with the rings on top of it. Hello, rings!
And staff.
At first I was all like, no, of course that's already happened. They just kind of modified it a bit because they made some changes between, you know, 2017 animation and 2023 live action. It happens, you know, people's uniforms change color every so often. You know, Chewie gets hit by Moon. Just kidding, he didn't.
Thank goodness that needed to go away.
Right, but now I'm kind of another podcast I listened to, Rebel Force Radio, had this whole conversation where Jimmy Mack was all like, "It hasn't happened yet. It's gonna happen because she's gonna have white and she's gonna have a staff." And Jason Swank was like, "What? No, it already happened." You know, because they have their tête-à-tête. I agree with you, Nathan. I think it is going to happen, and that makes me sad. And here's why it makes me sad. Because in that scene where she's holding the staff with the rings, she tells Sabine, "Let's go find Ezra." And if that scene hasn't happened yet in the live action, it means that we're not going to see Ezra, at least probably not in season 1. That they're going to find Thrawn some way, because we've seen Lars Mikkelsen in the trailer as Thrawn, but they're not gonna find Ezra. And so, like, at the end of season one, you're gonna have that scene in live action, and they're gonna have to be all like, well, he wasn't with Grand Admiral Thrawn anymore, but we have this other map, and I'll be all, ah!
Or they find him, but it's Ezra. So,
Ezra. Evil Ezra, Ezra.
No. I want it to be extra R's. Ezra.
No, I like the extra E because it almost sounds like Yzma from The Emperor's New Groove.
Synergy, so. Like you've never seen before. All right, anyway, Derek. Take it away. Question five.
I mean, in theory, that could happen. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But it would be like the longest like way to basically showcase like everybody. Like, here's 5 minutes that happened at the end of season four of Rebels, and we've made 8 episodes of it, and basically nothing's changed. Yeah, other than now, either they kill Thrawn. And Thrawn doesn't make it back, which would be a super letdown. Let's be honest. I would be super pissed if they kill Thrawn, like, within that. Or that hasn't even happened. That's not going to happen for, like, another 5 more seasons. Okay, then maybe fine. But that would be really weird. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not to say you guys are wrong. It could happen at this point, right? But to me, I feel like when Dave made that, he might have had in mind that Ahsoka already went through something that she's gone through now, and that's why she is what she is, right? When we see that in Rebels season 4. He never dreamed in any world that he was going to get the chance to bring her to live action. He's admitted that, right? He assumed, again, yeah. This is why, again, why call it Ahsoka? It should have been Rebels season 5. But, you know, we're going to get it, and now he can actually tell that side of the story about Ahsoka that we didn't get a chance to, that he just kind of put that at the end, because again, we all knew Ahsoka didn't die which was kind of the cliffhanger at the end of season 2, right? But that gets answered a few episodes earlier with the World Between Worlds. Now it actually shows you, right? So that again is that point when Ahsoka gets pulled between the World Between Worlds and she comes out a different character, right? So now that's basically explaining that in the live action form. And that's why we're getting her as Ahsoka the White now, not that she was Ahsoka White at the beginning of the season. So either one will be fine. But, you know, it just depends on what they're doing with Thrawn and Ezra. That would definitely determine it. But I could see, like I said, I wouldn't say anything's wrong with that. So bring it on. If that's what it is, that's fine. But it would definitely be a different approach, because then what happens at that point is then they have to bring Sabine back, like you said. So again, they have to bring Thrawn and Ezra back, or they kill Thrawn, which again would piss me off, and I think that'd piss off a lot of people. And so
they're building up live action Grand Admiral Thrawn to beat this,
you like, would hope,
earth shattering force for the Empire. I don't know that that's actually going to pay off the way that a lot of fans have been building it up in their own minds.
Already screwed Book of Boba Fett for a lot of fans of our perception of Boba. So,
I can see them doing something stupid. A risk when you have a character who people have in their minds how they should be. No two people have the exact same thoughts in mind. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to please everybody when you do bring them into live action.
But that's okay. But to literally, at your point now, because they haven't brought Thrawn in at episode 5, we're maybe not even get him until episode 7, per my thing. You literally finally bring live action Thrawn in for 2 episodes and kill him off. That would be the worst thing they can do ever. That's what I'm saying. That'd be the worst thing they could do.
That won't happen.
So,
and I do want him to have some moment of amazing stratagem or whatever,
blow up half of
make him a credible threat.
The New Republic's fleet, and that's why they're crap. And when the Resistance comes in the play at that point, because something basically like they barely escape Thrawn, and then the First Order comes into play.
Yeah, yeah.
So answer my own question, though.
Yes,
I think there are 3 possibilities. One is the possibility that, like Derek said, Dave just didn't know that he was going to get the chance to do this show. So there's some differences between the animation and the live action, and that's okay. Another possibility is that, no, it hasn't happened yet. We will see it later this season. Maybe Ezra, they do find him and bring him back, and he's just not with them at the moment. So it's more, let's go up to the ghost and find Ezra. Yeah. that would be almost disappointing, though, in its own way. But a third possibility is the end of Rebels was narrated. Sabine is talking over all of these scenes. So it may be that this is her memory and not necessarily exactly what happened. Now, that would necessitate that she sees Ahsoka this way, but I think that's going to happen anyway. She could be remembering Ahsoka with the white and with the staff and just kind of inserting that version of Ahsoka into her own memory of when Ahsoka came to get her.
I will be a little disappointed if they go to this other galaxy and they find Thrawn, but they don't find Ezra, and it'll be all like, we're sorry, your Padawan is in another galaxy. Da, 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 da,
da. Well, he never made it through the warp.
Actually, the whales left him there. He was in the woods the whole time, just watching and laughing at you guys. He was shocked when you went up and got into that Pergil's
Maybe
mouth.
He lost his memory.
Yeah. The one Pergil that he was riding got lost. It went to the wrong galaxy. You know, the rest
like,
of
wait, well, I'm not really with this pod. I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
All right, well, it's time for Derek's favorite part of the show, but we're going to modify it slightly this episode. Instead of what Star Wars t-shirts are we wearing this week, we're going to talk a little bit about Star Wars merchandise, because as you guys can tell, if you're watching this, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see that I'm wearing the completely wrong fandom with my Superman shirt on, but I've got a pretty uber minch of a action figure to show you guys. Way back on Star Wars Day this year, May the 4th, I ordered the special Hasbro Pulse release of Darth Malgus, one of the erstwhile main villains. He's still a main character in Star Wars The Old Republic MMO, and so they've made him as an ultra collectible action figure, and they put him in one of these cool eco-friendly, this box contains no plastic packaging, so I can't actually see him. I mean, I'm gonna do an unboxing, but since I am getting ready to move to a new house, I don't want to take him out of the box just to find some other box to pack him back up in for when I move to the Dome House. So, sometime later this year, hopefully in December, when I'm living at my new house, I will do an unboxing of this Darth Malgus, and I'll actually have enough space to put him on display. Because right now, the office/game room/guest bedroom at our apartment is just literally overflowing with pieces of science fiction plastic. Now, a lot of it's Warhammer 40,000.
So that some of his stuff is at my house.
Yeah. In fact, all of it won't even fit here, and it's an hour and a half away at Nathan's house. But yeah, that figure looks cool, and I was happy to get a figure from the video game that I like so much. Nathan, you have some Star Wars merch that's related to this episode of Ahsoka as well.
Yes, I do. It's not quite perfectly related, because this is Commander Cody, the Lego helmet. I do have the Rex one as well, although that's on my shelf at work. I'm now displaying both that and the Luke Skywalker helmet at work, as well as a couple Chewbacca Funko Pops. But I put this helmet together this week. Honestly, it was quite a bit easier, but that may just be because I have more experience putting together Lego helmets now. Or it may be that he's actually slightly easier because he doesn't have the big tubes on the side, because it's a phase one helmet. But he's got the little thing here where he can go, hey, I'm scanning, no dead Jedi found, we probably killed Obi-Wan, no big deal. But yeah, we didn't see Commander Cody in this episode. We did see Rex,
but we saw clones.
We did see clones.
All right, and
he's coming to work with me tomorrow.
Excellent. Speaking of Clone Wars stuff, Derek, you've got some more cool graded Star Wars CCG cards to show us, right?
Yeah, so like I said, I had 15 cards I got done. So I split them into pods of three each. So that gave us five pods for the last five episodes of this. So that was something other than my Sabine hoodie that I'm continuing to wear. So I'm on point there.
24/7, by the way, folks. Derek does not change even when he goes to work.
I never leave. I just sit here in my basement all day and just wear a Sabine hoodie. So I asked you guys preemptively, and since we did have episode one or you know, episode two, if you want to call it, droids, that you know, premiered in here from the Clone Wars, that was the batch that I had done. So the first one here I'm going to show is the ultra rare foil from Reflections 3 of 3PO with his part showing AI.
Oh, that's cool.
And then if you look at the custom slab, it's got a bunch of, it's hard to see with the camera, but it's a bunch of wiring. Like his insides.
Oh, yeah, like the interior of 3PO.
Yeah,
like and he's a 7.5. Nice. Good score.
So,
good score.
Yeah, so not too bad. Yeah. And then.
So I opened one of those when that set first came out traded it to somebody for pretty much everything I needed for a light side lightsaber combat deck.
Hey, if it had a Luke Skywalker Jedi Knight there, ultra rare, you would have made out. So
it didn't have that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay.
But it was still a bunch of cards for the one card.
Gotcha. So then the next one was the P60 super rare foil from Reflections 3 as well. So you have P60. You'll see that. Let me get a little bit closer. So it's in the hallway there, and you can see like a laser bolt coming out from the center area there. We got that. And then why else wouldn't you have the other counterpart, the ultra rare foil P59 foil as well for that?
Graded as 9.0.
Yeah, it was a 9 on that one. So, nice. And then you'll notice now, that Derek, when you put them together. The slabs,
yeah.
You put the two slabs together, and you can see they're both coming from the center with the blaster bolt together. They line up.
That's nice.
So I wanted them similar.
Did you make the slabs, or did you get the company that graded them and tell them, like, hey, I want these customized?
Yeah, so the company HGA does custom slabs. And what you can do is they have their own design team. And so when you pay extra for the, because you can just get it graded normally, but when you pay extra for the custom slabs, you basically work with them. Like you can, if there's something that's already been done, they have, you know, other people's designs or whatever from other cards, you could just request those basically, which a couple of them you'll see. I did do similar to what Kyle had done. Like I said, the friend that has the account and submitted them on his behalf because he has the cheaper version since he, like I said, has an account with them and has done many cards. Or what you can do is you can suggest what you would like, and the artist then is free to do stuff. So some of these are custom to what I have. Now, again, they're going to have a library built up. So eventually, as more cards are like this, and say somebody likes what I have here, right, they could actually go and say, I want that, right? And then they'd be able to pull up those graphics and do the same thing. Or again, they can do things like you could say, oh, I'd like to see, you know, like I said, with the C-3PO with his part showing, I asked for them to do something like that where you could see the wiring similar. So they were able to take that photo and then digitally art it, because it's not like it's necessarily that photo just zoomed in. Right. They actually digitally create it for that to fit the custom slab, and then, you know, tinker with the colors a little bit and all that. So.
Yeah, that's pretty epic. When Star Wars Unlimited comes out, I may try to get some cards graded in custom slabs for those characters. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, you'll have some very vibrant colors with the stuff there. So I'll have I'll have one for you here eventually in the next at least 3 weeks at this point for countdown, Nathan, that you'll like. So.
Ooh.
Sweet. Well, if you folks out there listening want to get your own cool merchandise from What a Piece of Junk or any of the other Fandom Podcast Network shows, you can check out our TeePublic store at teepublic.com. Just search up Fandom Podcast Network in the user search bar. Nathan, why don't you let the listeners know where they can find us on ye old interwebs?
Absolutely. You can find us pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. That includes Apple Podcasts, Stitchers, Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and YouTube. You can find us on Facebook at What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, or you can email us at whatapieceofjunkpod@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at WhatWars, and on Instagram, we are part of the Fandom Podcast Network. Now, if you do listen to us on any service that allows you to give us ratings, we would love for you to leave a rating and a thumbs up and a like or whatever's appropriate for what you're on. But you know, let us know what we're doing well, what we could do better, and how we can better serve you. Derek, can you tell us a little bit more about those 5-star reviews that we want?
Sure. So, you know, last week we were sponsored by Abandoned Lothcats and why it's important to make sure there's a 5-star review. This week we are going to be sponsoring Injured Clones. So for every 5-star review that we get, you are saving a clone life. So make sure that you go out there and you know, because obviously, again, it helps the search engines and it helps people find us and, you know, whatever, when they type in Star Wars and podcasts and funny people that just do whatever. But yes, again, you will be saving clone lives here, because if you remember in this episode, there was a lot of injured clones. A lot of them are going to need reconstruction surgery, might be some missing some hands and some feet, whatever. And maybe some widows, maybe some widow. I don't know, because they never got married other than the few that, you know, left the army.
Did, yeah.
So but for those that do find marriage afterwards or for disability, there's a payment plan, because we know that obviously the Senate didn't care about them afterwards. So let's start that fund now. And again, leave those 5-star reviews, because then for every 5-star review, we'll put a pot of Imperial credits, I guess, at the time. Well, technically they weren't the Republic credits at the time, for them. So that way they have something to come back to.
We here on the Drunken Gungan, of course, pay our debts in Mon Calamari Flan. Thank you very much.
Because we live in today's society.
That's right. The only currency that's even more squishy than Bitcoin is actual gelatin currency. All right. Well, anyway, if any of those things or more happen on the next episode of Ahsoka, you can bet your sweet Bippy that we're going to talk about it here on What a Piece of Junk. So until then, we want to thank you all for joining us. Thank you for supporting the show. And please always remember to respect each other and always respect each other's fandom. All right, Nathan, punch it.